It's Monday, June 30th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central. This is show number 960, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. It's get a GoDaddy managed WordPress site for just $1 a month and a free domain name at GoDaddy, or pick up your domain for just $1.99. All my specials can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Hey, folks, I got a great show lined up for you tonight. Been kind of a crazy day here. I'll talk about that here in a few minutes, but you guys know what comes next. If I get the right buttons, strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. I got a great show lined up for you tonight. And it's been a very busy day here. It's a happy birthday day for my daughter. She just turned 18 today. So pretty exciting stuff here in the scheme of things. Pretty big milestone for her. And sadly, my wife and youngest son, actually my wife and two sons are in California. I'm going to meet them at the end of the week. But they flew out last night, so it's just my daughter and I. So we celebrated with a real fancy dinner of her choice, a vegetarian pizza. So that was, of all things, I don't know. But anyway, that's what the celebratory meal was, and a little cake. So we'll have a bigger thing when we're in California. But congratulations to my daughter for her 18th birthday. I want to give, of course, a warm, warm welcome to all the longtime listeners and viewers. Welcome to the Ohana. And, of course, here in Hawaii, Ohana means family. And you guys are all part of the extended family here. And we want to thank you for being long, long, long time fans of the show. It's greatly appreciated. For those of you that are brand new to the show, thanks for checking out the show for the first time. And we want you to stick around for a while because... man, we put some tech out here, and today I've got a pile of stuff that is going to keep you entranced for the entire show. And I got an article that I'm going to talk about very early in the show tonight that just, I want to be incensed, but I almost at this point feel like I've been beaten down, and I almost don't even know if I want to scream about it, but I'll talk about it anyways. We'll get to that here in a little bit. It just, I almost want to get into it now, but I'll hold off. But as a reminder, you can follow me on Twitter at Geek News. Of course, you can email the show here directly, geeknews@gmail.com. Facebook, Google Plus, there's communities for everyone. There's a special community for the insiders. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But I want to thank all of you again for being fans of the show and really, really being part of our extended family here. You can catch the show on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, soon to be Android TV, and I've been saying it forever, but we're still waiting, Amazon Fire TV for the Tech Podcast channel on that. Just look underneath the video section in the Tech News category, and you'll find the show there prominently listed. Lots going on. And the best thing is my manager over at GoDaddy basically said, hey, dude, we're going to continue in July the deals that we had for everyone in June, and we're going to keep the 32% code live and well. So this is exciting stuff for all of you because you're going to be able to save some cash. And really, to be able to do that, you just either click one of the banners on the website or you scroll down the page, and in the second column, you see the link that says GoDaddy promo codes. If you click on that, that's going to load the promo code page there with all of the codes. And it really, there's a code there for everyone. 32% off, go 3, 2, off 1. This is on all new purchases. 25% off your new order and discounts included top-level domain with a 25% off code, including, again, new top-level domains by using the promo code GO25OFF5. Now, just want to pick up a .com or transfer one in, GNC, $199. And then, of course, we've got our hosting specials that really can't be beat, starting at $1 a month, $1 a month WordPress hosting, and $1 a month economy hosting. Both of those deals come with a free domain. One is Press 4 for the WordPress hosting, Geeks 12 for the standard economy hosting. And truth be told, on the Geeks 12 code, once you get the economy hosting that's buried in their apps offering, you can actually install WordPress right there as well. But the difference is, on the Press 4 code, it's a managed WordPress site, so a little bit different offering in the long term. 50host7 for 50% off any hosting plan with a free domain. 50wsb7 if you want to buy their website builder. And then they're 10% off their found product. So lots of codes to be used. Mix and match. Use the best of your ability to save money. We really want you to save as much cash as possible when you're over there. So that means mix and match codes on different orders. Sometimes you may get a better discount if you just buy all .coms, or if you have a mixture of TLDs, or if you just buy a hosting account. Buying the hosting account is always important first, because they throw in that free domain. Get that bang, get that out of the way. And then if you want to buy additional domains, you can load up on those and use one of the other codes to get more savings. So definitely check everything out over at GoDaddy.com. We want to thank them for being, again, a longtime sponsor here. And, you know, we're not into July yet, but very quickly here, they will be 9 years continuously sponsoring the show here at Geek News Central. Again, thank you for them for being a longtime sponsor at the show. So let me just get into a couple of things that's going on. A transformation. I'm back on, I guess for a better word, regular food. And pizza obviously isn't a great way to go for being back on regular food. It was a vegetarian pizza, but still I limited myself to 2 slices, which probably is about 1,000 calories. Who knows? But when I did step on the scale Sunday morning after finishing up, it was teetering between 201 and 202. I did not make it to 200. So not bad, considering that the scale that my wife changed out on me, we had I'd been using one scale, and halfway through this past 10 days, she took it away from me and put in a new scale, and that scale was 3 pounds heavier, and it was like getting like, you know, 2 to 3 days of lost work. So really, I think based on my old scale reading, I got 199 to 200, but, you know, so I'm really on this new scale from so here on forward. I'm just a new baseline will be where I dropped off at 201.5 or 201.3 or 201.7, wherever it came in there. But pretty happy with the progress thus far. Noticeable differences in my physique. Standing, taking pictures forward, backwards, sideways, and any way in between. And the El Birgato is reducing in, I guess for better words, I'm making withdrawals now instead of deposits. And so that's a good thing. And trying to stay away from those empty carbs and empty calories. But anyway, if you want to check it out, MyPurium, MyPurium.com / podcast is the place to go to check out the program I'm on. And so now, off on vacation here at the end of the week, and probably come back at 215 pounds. Who knows? But hopefully we're able to police ourselves a little bit better than what we did today. Matter of fact, my daughter and I were coming up with a food game plan for tomorrow, which includes lots of green leafy stuff. So just pretty exciting, and I feel better. Even with just 22, 23 pounds was so far off, maybe 24 total off. Pretty exciting stuff because, you know, I was hovering 220 to 225, really kind of a variance there for a while. So anyway, let's, and good, you know, officially, I guess, from this new scale, 201 to 202. All right. So I did put in some lights. You can't very well see them at this point, but it's made a complete, I had to rebalance the cameras. And the camera I wanted to show you guys, and you can see it a little better on the back wall. You can see in between the monitors a little bit. It's not pure white. a little positioning to do and maybe one more row to install to get the exact effect I want. But the camera that I wanted to show you was the camera that's over here. We don't use that camera a lot, but when I fired it up tonight to have it available for the show, it failed on me. So in the process, we lost one of our point-tilt zoom cameras. It's been on the fritz for a while, but it just won't reset. So we'll stick an old camera over there and have something new when we come back from vacation. Not new, but a different camera over there. Just didn't have time to wire it up tonight. So I'm pretty excited with this. It's a nice... My wife came in. She said, before she left, she says, "That's interesting." And she just kind of looked at me and shook her head sideways and left. And I'm like, well, I saw it, how they were using lighting in the Twit Studio, and I thought it would make a cool ambiance in the room. And she says, okay. And she just kind of waved the hands at me. But I think we'll get there to where we need to be. It looks cooler in the room just being here than it does. And it helps I'm wearing a blue shirt. But in this camera, you can see a little bit of the reflection over there. And then, you know, that obviously that wall there is white, which makes it a little odd. But it's a work in progress. Just having a little fun with it at this point and seeing what I can do with this tiny, tiny space. All right. Those of you who become insiders, thank you for contributing to the show. We do appreciate it. GeekNewsCenter.com/insider. Come in and support the show at $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, $25 a month. It all starts at 6.7 cents a day at $2 a month. Those of you, I know a few of you upped your donations to $5, which I definitely appreciate a lot to see the increase. It is very, very much appreciated. Okay, so I'm going to get right into content tonight. I'm not going to waste too much time because, quite honestly, I had a short night last night. Took my wife to the airport, got back here, got into watching a couple of movie series. I was watching The Pacific, I think it's an HBO series. And one episode led to two, led to three, led to four. To looking at the clock, it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and I say, oh my God, I got to get up at 5. And so short night last night. But so hopefully I won't stumble too much during the show. Those of you in the chat room, hey, Spitballs and Dale, thanks for being here, folks, for jumping in and staying up late. Really, really long-time fans and contributors to the show. I definitely appreciate both of you folks for being on the live stream tonight. But I've got a couple of things I'm going to talk about before I get into a very, very important topic. And it's in this topic I'm going to start off with tonight is and that's something I want to talk to you guys about too, those of you the Android users. And just for the record, as of Friday, and let me give you the date here. As of Friday, June 27th, my wife is no longer an iPhone user. We got three new phones, Samsung Galaxy S5s, and I have to admit, these suckers are flat out beautiful, big screens. I mean, you know, I've been using a Nexus 7 for my tablet, for my Android tablet, and after playing with my wife's Galaxy X5 for one day before she left, I really said, hey, honey, I'm going to go out and buy a Samsung tablet, and I'll show you guys what I bought. I bought the Tab Pro, and this is a little bigger than kind of what I'm used to using for, you know, I like my iPad, but I was hoping I should have bought the size smaller than this. But again, the screen is as nice as the Galaxy S5, but I'm already in love with this tablet in a big, big way. And I hate to say it, I may have been Android. So I thought, you know, I've been preaching this choir here for a while about getting up to speed on podcasting apps for Android. And the folks at CNET kind of helped me out quite a little bit today because they posted a blog post today that talks about all of the Android podcast apps. And I want those of you that are listening on your iPhone, if you've got friends that use Androids, they're not here. They're not listening to podcasts. 87% of the people that listen to podcasts are on something other than a Android device. Okay, so the Android community is missing in a big, big way. So I want all of you, and some of you that listen to the show, you're on Androids. I know that, but your fellow Android users are not tuning into podcasts, and we need to resolve this in a big hurry. And we can double this audience if we're able to bring in, you know, a significant number of Android users. So I want you to be promoting podcasting, especially if you're an Android user. Let's get this caught up. But I want to talk about the availability of podcasting apps that you can use. And there's a variety of them. Dog Catcher is one. Pocket Cast is another. Beyond Pod, and this is a pretty popular one. Beyond Pod is pretty high on the popularity list. Podcast Addict. Stitcher Radio for Podcast is probably on the Android side, 2% of total podcast listeners is using the Stitcher Radio app for podcast on Android. TuneIn Radio is really kind of an ecosystem. I don't even know if this show's listed over there. But there's a number of great apps for those of you that are Android users to use. And we want you to help spread the word. And one thing that we're going to be doing, and the reason I want to spend a little time on this, one thing that we're going to be doing over at Blueberry, the platform that my company runs, is we're going to be expanding the number of shows that are available on that website. Right now, there's 23,000 shows on there. Not all of those are active. There's some dead ones in there. So we're going to expand, and I would expect 3, 4, maybe 5 times as large. The community is going to really grow this way. And what our goal is there needs to be a second point of presence. There needs to be a place for Android users to go to find shows to be able to subscribe to them, because they can't go to iTunes and get subscribed. They can go look them up, but there's no really way to subscribe. So we're going to make it bloody apparent as we expand blueberry.com. We're going to help Android listeners really be able to get engaged and subscribe to, you know, the full variety of podcasts that are out there. Those of you that are techies, you know to go over to techpodcast.com, part of the network. As a matter of fact, I'm wearing my TPN.TV shirt tonight. So let's make a move, all of us together. All of you that are holding an Android device, and those of you that are not, encourage your folks, you know, tell them some apps and where to go. Share this link with people, and let's really make a difference here in driving the Android community into the podcasting space. So that I did want to talk about that a little bit at the beginning of the show tonight before I get into my, I guess for a better word, the article that raised my dandruff considerably. Facebook. Let's talk about Facebook. First of all, let's talk about human emotions. Each of us are driven by the things that we're exposed to on a daily basis. The news, what's in the news, and it's usually crap, bad stuff. It's usually bad news, junk. It's nothing ever positive. We are driven by what we read on the internet. Whether it be from Twitter, whether it be from CNN, Fox, MSNBC, NBC, CBS, wherever you go to get your news fix, the Drudge Report, Colbert, wherever you go to get it, that sets your attitude, positive and negative. Your wife yelling at you, the kids kicking in the knee, car breaking down, flat tires, etc. But the last place in God's green earth, do we ever want our emotions messed with on purpose, is when we log into Facebook. Now, when I'm on Facebook, I purposely follow people that I know, that I trust, family members, friends, fans of the show, so that I want to see what's going on with them. So I get to know you, you get to know me, and I want to see what's going on. I want to see what's family announcements, whether it be, you know, someone got married, someone had a baby, someone died. It's all the full mixed, okay? But when I heard today that Facebook was purposely screwing with people and making a news feed mood-centric to try to change people's attitudes and moods, it really changed my mood. It got me absolutely, unequivocally pissed off. How dare they? Now, there's been times when I've been on Facebook and it's been article after article after article of, oh my God, the world is on fire. Then, a couple days later, there's been posts, nothing about getting married, having babies, I just got engaged, I'm, you know, and it's like this, it runs in, you know, it's the weirdest thing. I'm expecting that if they ever announce the list, that I have been on their list. And I'm not saying positive that I have or have not. But now if I think about the past and then what they have done, it makes me wonder a little bit. Facebook is saying they're sorry. But it is irresponsible that Facebook manipulated the news feeds of more than 500,000 people so it could change the number of positive and negative posts that appeared from their friends. And they said it was a way to experiment. Excuse my French, but am I a freaking frog? Facebook in-house data science team carried out a project, it said, as a way to examine the emotional impact of Facebook on users. Along with two university researchers. Now, that to me was like, wow. And they published the result of this guinea pig experiment that kept us in a cage on Facebook in an academic journal. One of the data scientists even said it was kind of creepy. I don't know about you, but my trust level with Facebook has grown to a very, very short. And whether or not you and I were experiments in this, we probably will never know. But this is dealing with privacy, manipulation, mind tricks. This can even go so far as to say that they were trying to brainwash people. Some of you may say I'm overreacting, but I don't think so. We are already manipulated beyond reason with everything that we read in the mainstream press today. If Facebook is doing this, it is obvious that what we hear on the radio, what we see on all networks, is done nothing more than to drive a wedge, to get people pissed off, to drive division, to stupefy people in this country. And it doesn't matter if you're a conservative or if you're a liberal. This should equally piss you off, and we should all become together and say enough is enough is enough is enough. I'm honest with you. I'm stunned. I'm stunned that they would do this. That they would pull stuff out of people's newsfeed, positive stuff, and just load it with negative, or fill it with positive and take the negative out. It's already bad enough that they're manipulating the newsfeed so that they want to make sure that you and I get to see what they want us to see. We don't get to see everything. I don't get to see, you know, 1,200 or 1,300 people or whatever the number is that follow me on Facebook. And it's not a big number, but it's, you know, I feel that it's a more intimate type of thing. I don't get to see all your comments. If you put my name in there, I usually do. There's times I have listened to mainstream media news, whether it be Fox, NBC, any of those folks at CNN, any place, and I leave wanting to be more mad, you know, or just shaking my head. And I've cut myself off from a lot of mainstream news because I'm sick and tired of basically hearing agendas and then knowing I can share intimate moments with you guys on Facebook, stuff that I feel I can share. You know, if I go over there, you know, I saw something pretty cool that I was linked to by a friend of mine. And it was this folks that are... these gals that are dancers in Japan. And they did this light show that was simply incredible. And it's something that I've never seen before. And I posted on there last night. This is something incredible. And it blew me away so bad. And I don't normally show art stuff on my Facebook page. And using light is very creative. And it was inspiring. Made me feel good. Talked about my weight loss stuff that's going on. Talk about Shoko getting an Android, you know? Talked about some stuff going in the podcasting space. Talk about who you're having a new media show. Talking about podcasters who are bragging about how much money they make, how it irritates me. You know? I hate to say it. People that show their pay stubs, it's just absolutely no class. It's like, this is how much I'm making. Don't you hate that? Don't you really hate braggers? I applaud people's success. People can judge success by what they see and how a person acts. That is how you can tell success and how they carry themselves. Not waving their check. This is how much money I make. I understand you have to legitimize an industry, but this bragging about how much money is really, it just drives me nuts. Maybe it's as bad as me asking for folks to support the show with being insiders. I don't know. Maybe it irritates you guys the same way. But what I put on Facebook is about life. And I expect to experience your life, the full mixed bag. When I go to the news feed, I want to see a mixture of stuff. I want to see new ideas, people's comments, thoughts, processes. Here at the top, I'm seeing something from Tim Alcazar. And I probably, Tim, I know you follow the show and you listen to the podcast. I'm sure I just said your name wrong. I apologize. But, you know, I see stuff from Tim all the time. A buddy I used to serve with the Navy, Kurt Raynard. He puts up stuff all the time. He's now medically retired. Peter Kea, entrepreneur here in Hawaii, he's talking about the Hobby Lobby stuff. This is all stuff that, you know, is on the, you know, some cousins of mine. And, you know, just, you know, it's stuff that happens with life, right? That's what Facebook's all about. But those SOBs, I don't want them to mess with that feed. Don't make me angry, what you have. Don't make me sad. Don't make me glad. Don't manipulate and brainwash me. If this does not make you incensed, just the thought of it, we already know the external stuff is rigged. The storyline is rigged. We're just sheep to follow, right? But the one place we've been able to learn and trust for a long time to be able to talk to our friends and family members is this is one outlet. Maybe it's time to say goodbye to Facebook. Maybe it's time to find a new place to hang out online, to hang out with families and family and friends. You know? I don't go there for tech stuff. I go there for life stuff. If I want tech stuff, I go to Google Plus. Does it piss you off? I really want to hear from you guys. I want your thoughts. I want to hear you verbally express your feelings. I really do. I want to hear you scream at Facebook if that's what you feel they deserve. Now, we're going to have to delay when I'm going to play that stuff because I'm going to be gone the next three shows. We already know I'm headed out. We're going to have three guest hosts. You're going to have Don Bain, the Gadget Professor. You're going to have Andrew Bacon. And you're going to have Mr. Mike Dell. We're going to do the next three shows. But when I get back, I mean, maybe it'll be old news by then. The news cycle will recycle 35 times in 10 days or so. But at least send me an email now and let me know what you think. So, you know, I've ranted about this long enough. But if this doesn't make you angry, wake up. Please wake up, please. Is it time to say goodbye to Facebook? Should we boycott? Is it time to walk? That's what I want to hear. You know, that's what I really want to hear. All right, next up. Where do I go from here? Holy crap. Dale and Spitballs, you guys are quiet. Any comments in the chat room? Hang on, I thought my daughter was leaving and let me check something. Hang on. She's taking her boyfriend home. He was here. He can't drive. All right. Let's talk about Fire TV. There's a report come out that Fire TV is being a little aggressive in the amount of data it's using. Apparently, one guy found that Fire TV had somehow contributed near 80 gigs of usage in a single day. By the end of his May billing cycle, it unknowingly topped 800 gigs in usage because of this adaptive thing that's going on with Fire TV where it predictively understands what you're going to watch next and automatically downloads the file. So, no update from Netflix. I mean, no update from Amazon yet. But this is big. And they've got some issues here. And I would expect that there's probably going to be some sort of change to this predictive caching. I always wondered how their images are the best. Well, what they're doing is they're downloading stuff into the box and trying to predict what you're going to watch next, preloading, and you may not know it. What I've been doing and what I do with all my set-top boxes is they don't stay on 24/7. When I get done with them, I shut them off. So maybe I haven't been affected as much as the rest of you have. But they're on a smart switch. TV goes off, all the boxes go off. But if you're leaving your Fire TV on, it may be adding to your total bandwidth usage. So pay attention to it, okay? Look at it before and after. Look at your usage before and after. Many of you can do that with your ISP. Even Time Warner Cable users can do that by going into the Time Warner Cable account info, and you can see your daily usage to give you an idea where you need, you know, what kind of traffic you're moving. Those of you that always want the latest and greatest phone, the folks over at notechie.com, T-E-C-H-I-E.com, notechie.com, talk about a new $300 phone that is coming out of China. I don't know if I'd buy any phone being made by a Chinese company coming into America, to be honest with you. I'm just, at this point, don't trust them. I don't trust their mobile stuff that is made like for Apple or Samsung or any of the other companies. Mm-hmm. I don't know, probably Samsung, probably, where is this device made? Let me look. Can't read the prints, too small. Does it say? I can't see if it's made in China or where it's made, but those devices that Samsung and, you know, so forth, there, you know, there's pretty tight control on that. But when it comes to an actual phone being made by a Chinese startup, they're offering to American consumers here in the near future, I'd be real hesitant because I don't trust the Chinese in getting, you know, this could be just another ruse or another, you know, device to get into, you know, our back ends of our homes, into our servers and our, to our email and so forth. But anyway, if you're interested, they've got a lot of people saying good things about this new phone from this Chinese startup called OnePlus One. And it's stalking its territory as a Nexus killer. And it's got a 5.5-inch screen, 3,100 mAh battery. It's got a 6-lens camera, 4G LTE, of course, Miracast, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi. It's got pretty nice feature set for a pretty inexpensive phone. So I have a link up in the show notes for you to check out on this. But you guys kind of know my opinion here on, you know, devices being made by and for the China market for being resold in the United States. It makes me go, just a little bit. Also, they're switching gears a little bit here, talking about hacking. There's a mysterious cyber attack that has compromised more than 1,000 power plant systems. Symantec has just uncovered a malware campaign from a group dubbed Dragonfly that allows remote access to the computer systems of more than 1,000 power plants. According to Symantec, the attackers use the malware only to spy on system operations, but could have used remote access functionality to wreak considerably more havoc had they decided to, with the infection reaching to over 1,000 organizations across 84 countries, ranging from grid operators to gas pipelines. The scope of the damage could have been considerable. Dragonfly's control servers were based in Eastern Europe, leading the Financial Times to conclude that the attacks are Russian in origin, but the ultimate purpose of the attack is still unclear. Attackers use a variety of techniques, ranging from garden variety phishing attacks to campaigns targeting component manufacturers, which then allowed for infections to take hold in any downstream system. Already, comparisons have been drawn to the more sophisticated Stuxnet virus, which the U.S. used to damage alleged to damage nuclear power plants in Iran in 2010. Imagine someone basically wreaking havoc on 1,000 utility companies in 84 countries. You know, could put us back in the dark ages, the day the lights went off because the hacker shut the grid down. It could happen. And when it does, it's going to be a major wake-up call for us and the entire world. And I'm hoping these utilities are taking it very serious in the security of their vital infrastructure that keeps the lights on, keeps things powered so we can bring shows like this to you. Over in Tech Dirt, according to the president has appointed pharma patent lawyer to head the patent office. Can it get any better? Oh my God. How come? It doesn't matter who's in office. It doesn't matter if it's a Republican or a Democrat. It doesn't matter. They all elect these bozos to these posts that are just absolutely the wrong people. So the president has found a successor to David Kapos to run the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. So this guy, Michael Lee, oh my God, is a former Google patent lawyer. It was appointed the interim director, which freaked out a bunch of patent folks. And so who did... Oh my gosh. So, oh my, this is crazy. So the president is appointing, is poised to appoint a long-term pharma industry patent folks who have spent years fighting against patent reform to take over as director of USPTO. Phil Johnson, the former executive from pharma giant Johnson & Johnson, is a person that's being, apparently is going to be nominated. You know, it's just like the patent system needs serious work. And you're going to have someone here that is going to be against patent reform. There's going to be no patent reform if this person is actually nominated and accepted and however that whole process works over there in the Beltway. You know, and this is surprising because the president has come out against patent trolls and he's in favor of patent reform. And of course, we know that, folks stepped in to kill the whole process. But, you know, trial lawyers and big pharma from where this Johnson came from are the folks that helped kill the whole process last year. So this whole new appointment does not bode well at all for patent reform. Is it time for a new presidential election yet? We're still a few years away, right? I don't think, no matter who's in office, I don't think it's going to make a difference. They all just irritate us, don't they? At least me, maybe not you guys, but just makes me, sometimes it's just like, you know, like that whole Facebook thing, bang your head against the wall. All right, a little science news, a little lighter stuff. Will Earth appear habitable to alien astronomers? NASA thinks that our ocean glint may be a clue to aliens that are looking our way. So what they've done is they use when the Lunar Crater Observation and Sensing Satellite LaCrosse was still spinning around the moon and not heading towards its ultimate demise and crashing into a mountain, that LCROSS satellite briefly looked at Earth and made statements about ozone and Earth's atmosphere and also about liquid water. And so scientists seem to think that's the kind of stuff that aliens will be looking for. Now, if they're looking for water on a comet, the new Rosetta comet, which is scheduled to do a zoom by us here soon, starting to heat up and dripping off water, apparently about 2 cups of water a second. I don't know how scientists can figure that out, but apparently this thing's shedding 300 milliliters of water a second, about the size of a swimming pool, every, 100 hours or so. So they say it's going to be a great show as this thing fast approaches the sun. At the same time, eavesdropping on ET, there's two new programs launching to listen to aliens. SETI is stepping up. As a matter of fact, I didn't tell you guys. I was talking to some SETI. SETI uses our podcast hosting service at Raw Voice. And so if you listen to any SETI podcast, congratulations, that's being served by our service. So I was talking with the folks at SETI, helping them with a few issues they were having with their feed and so forth, helping them get set up on podcast statistics and a variety of things. And SETI is stepping up a search of alien life forms on far-off worlds. And they announced two new methods to search for signals that could come from life on other planets. And it's called the Panchromatic SETI Project, where multiple telescopes will scan a variety of wavelengths from 30 stars near the sun. The project will look for powerful signals beamed into space, potentially by intelligent extraterrestrials. SETI is also launching an interplanetary eavesdropping program that is expected to search for messages beamed between planets in a single system. They say, if we're polluting space, perhaps other extraterrestrials are leaking signals as well. Well, that's what I've always said. You know, anything with RF energy is, you know, going outbound, and we're one big radio out here blasting away. Anything going out digital, it doesn't stop coming into our house. It goes, you know, that way too. So good. And we're going to be looking for the same thing, that same noise we're producing. We're going to look for the same noise that, but you know, if they're that advanced, they've maybe reduce that RF noise. Scientists are getting some, you know, their heads are getting bigger. And they're making some new predictions and so forth. But scientists are saying that an unknown force may alter gravity at a cosmologically large scale. They say there's a fifth force that may exist to disrupt the predictions of general relativity, making outside our own a fifth force may exist that disrupts the predictions of general relativity, makes outside our own galaxy on cosmic length scales. University of Pennsylvania astrophysicist, guy by the name of something John, said the nature of gravity is a question of a lifetime. As scientists have been able to see farther and deeper into the universe, laws of gravity have been revealed to be under the influence of unexplained force, either dark matter or something else that's out there. Maybe we're getting pulled by some other galaxy that we're smashing. I don't know. Maybe it's this whole, like, you know, like this effect. Maybe that's what's going on. We're on the outbound. And when it gets to a certain part and we've squeezed the other one to its breaking point, it's, you know, who knows? Because, yeah, what is on the other side? You know, you want to really hurt your brain. If you want to hurt your brain in a big way, the end of the, what's on the other side of the end of the galaxy? What's on the other side? What are we running into? You know, it's not like there's nothing there. You know, it's stuff like that, that if you really think about it, should keep you up at night. You know, it's, you make it go, how's that happening? Just the sheer scope of this whole thing that we live in called the universe, you know, is, you know, I understand why these guys with 5,000 IQ spend their entire lifetimes to try to, you know, catch a quark. You know, I don't want to catch something tiny. I want to, let's talk about the big picture here, you know? And the thing is, no one, if you really think about it, are we like bulldozing on the other side? Are we just pushing through another universe? Are we just, you know, we smashing and killing sediment beings on the other side because they're on the decline instead of the increase? You know, none of us will have to worry about it because, you know, if we could get hit by a bus or have a heart attack or stroke out or have an airplane crash into us, or, you know, there's all things that can kill us out there, and it really won't matter. Yeah, old age, you know, I don't think we have to worry about the galaxy collapsing on us. I think that's pretty, it's pretty, pretty good odds that ain't going to happen. But, yeah, something's pushing, you know, and that had to be a heck of a spark. So astrophysicists have been pursuing tests of gravity in the cosmos for many years. But conventional tests requires data on millions of galaxies. Well, we got some big computers now. Just run it and see what happens. But it's got to hurt your brain just a little bit. What are we running into? All right. Cassini's been taking pictures of Saturn for a while now. You know, it's been 10 years since the Cassini spacecraft entered the Saturn system. And, you know, it's been snapping beautiful pictures of Saturn ever since, taking pictures of its moons, Titan, Enceladus. I probably just destroyed that word too, Enceladus. And then, you know, sending just images back that are just, you know, you talk about out there and us being these little, like, less than a grain of sand on the beach. You know, we're not even the size of an atom, really, as compared to this entire size of the universe. But Cassini sending back some pretty incredible pictures over the past 10 years. So I'll share these with you. This is a good gallery on universetoday.com. Oh, Dale says, I'm ready to terminate Facebook. Yeah, I'm almost there with you. And that wasn't so crappin' convenient. That's the thing. That's the thing you're torn about. If it wasn't so convenient, we'd all, you know, that one into Facebook. And I was, you know, for the listening audience, I've got my fist up and I'm pointing at a certain finger. Oh, man. All right. I want to talk about something else. This is more important. You know, hearts, kidneys, lungs, corneas. There's lots of things being transplanted these days. And if you're not a organ donor and you're healthy, please, please become an organ donor. I'm an organ donor. Something happens to me, use the good stuff. My dad was an organ donor. Even though he was in a horrific car accident, they were able to use his corneas and a variety of other things for people that needed stuff. So please definitely consider that. And when something tragic happens, when someone dies and they're an organ donor and they take those organs and have to get them across the country, you know, time is critical. So what they've done is they have developed a new super cooling technique to increase the amount of time human organs can remain viable outside of the body. According to researchers, if this succeeds in humans, it would enable a worldwide allocation of donor organs, saving more lives and allow more time to prepare the patient and ease logistics at the donor hospital site, reducing the urgency of rushing the organ to its destination and expand the donation area to allow for transcontinental and intercontinental transplantations. The teacher said that the technology would also increase chances. Now, the thing that's scary about this is there's a lot of people out there that are dealing in organs as a black market thing. It's horrible. Third world countries, people are giving up kidneys for just, you know, not much money whatsoever. The researcher said the technology would increase the chance of patients finding better matches while simultaneously significantly reducing costs. And what they're going to do is they're going to deliver oxygen and nutrient to the capillaries in the biological tissue while outside the body. And then they're going to super cool the liver tissue without causing damage. And to do this, they're using some additional chemicals, which are non-toxic, a modified glucose compound to cool everything off. And so this is interesting stuff that livers, I guess, are one of the harder ones to transport. But the livers were slowly cooled below the freezing point to 21 degrees without inducing freezing. Thereby supercooling the organ for preservation after storing your organs for several days. The researchers again use machine perfusion to rewarm the organs while also delivering oxygen and other nutrients to prepare the organ for transplantation. So exciting stuff. And I know there's people out there that you know that are waiting on a kidney today. I currently do not have a family member on a donor waiting list, but I have had several times throughout my life family members come up on a waiting list. And if you have one, you know the frustration of waiting for an organ. Especially if you're older, you're basically at the bottom of the list. All right, tomorrow, Apple's 2014 back-to-school promotion will kick off. So be aware of that. And that's forthcoming. And she didn't leave my... that irritates me. So those of you that were going to buy a kid a back-to-school laptop, they're going to be giving you a $100 iTunes app gift store card if you buy a Mac computer, or a $50 gift certificate gift card if you buy an iPad or an iPhone. All right, over on the register, Apple is shipping security fixes for iOS and OS 10, basically everything. So you're getting updates here. If you haven't seen it already, it will pop soon. So you'd expect to have updates on all your devices, all your OS 10, iOS Wear. Honda has introduced its first personal jet. It's a tiny flying wonder. And while it looks beautiful, when you say airplane, just add two zeros to anything you're thinking about. You know, especially when you add the word jet to that, maybe add another zero. But the first production of Honda's first ever airplane has taken the skies for the first time in Greensboro, North Carolina. If you're looking for an aviation job, Greensboro is a great place to go. L3 has a plant down there, Raytheon, a bunch of folks. This flight is a major milestone towards certification, and it's called the Honda Jet F3, and the cockpit's, of course, all glass. Looks pretty sexy. The first production aircraft flew 84 minutes, climbed to 15,500 feet, and achieved a speed of 348 knots true airspeed, which is not bad at all. If it's got a jet, I bet it's going to go faster. I bet you they didn't top it out. But nice little jump seat in this thing. Nice machine. This is not personal. This is several million dollars at a minimum, I would imagine. Just looking at the interior electronics alone, maybe $3-5 million or more, maybe 10, maybe 20. But it's not a personal jet. To call it a personal jet, means you and I can go down to Honda and buy one, right? Probably the financing plan that's needed for that doesn't fit into, you know, your and I budgets. We're probably in the wrong business. Bitcoin prices surge as Silk Road auction spurs investor interest. The U.S. Marshals Service has begun to inform participating investors as to the official results of its 27 June auction of 30,000 confiscated Silk Road coins. But major institutional investors are already calling the event an overall success. There was a 7% increase in Bitcoin price on the CoinDesk USD Bitcoin price index today. And so basically they sold them all, and there was an additional $20 million of interest in buying more, and finished today at about $640 a Bitcoin. Not bad. Have you heard about this Kickstarter called Reading Rainbow? It's the most popular Kickstarter to date. And actually, I got an email from one of our audience members sending me over to another cool Kickstarter that I hope I bookmarked that and put it in the show notes. I'll know here at the end of the show. I'll find it for you if I didn't. It was a cool device that could be used as a clock or basically a Twitter notification device. It was about that big. I'll see if I can find it. If I can't find it before the end of the show here, I will dig for it and put it in the show notes. But this Reading Rainbow is basically a Kickstarter for kids and stuff. And pretty big. It's who's it? It's being done by LeVar Burton. Those of you know who that is. The celebrity LeVar Burton. It teaches kids how to read. The Reading Rainbow remake has just become the most popular Kickstarter with 91,600 backers as of today. So let's see how much money they actually raised. Is that the link for it here? Yeah. Let me look at the total amount of money raised. $4.7 million is what they've raised with 35 hours to go. And they're trying to get over 100,000 people. But this is incredible. This is a huge number. Kickstarter, what a good business. Man, oh man, those guys, they come up with a gold mine. And it's just like making money off other people's ideas. Oh, if you have Bitcoins in California, the governor made them legal today. California Governor Jerry Brown has signed off on a law legitimizing, destroyed that, Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies for use in the state. California AB 129, and so you're good to go there. If you want to buy a refurbished MacBook Air, you can get 11.6-inch one for $649. Those available via the Apple Store. And there's a couple of sites selling them on. Well, actually, eBay has some 11.6-inch MacBook Airs for $500 as well. I don't know exactly which models are there, so look at that very, very closely when you do. Some Surface Pro 3 users are complaining about the Wi-Fi woes after first-day firmware updates. They're having some issues there. More news on that as it develops. I'm really running long here. Oh, Keurig. How many of you got a Keurig machine at home? Don't sell it. Don't get rid of it. Nothing, because Keurig is putting basically some code into their cookers so that you can only use Keurig Pods. Is that what they call them? Pogs or pugs or something like that. I don't have a Keurig machine. We grind our own here. And but anyway, they're basically making it so that you can't. Oh, it's, I guess it's a pod. So they're trying to prevent competing pods like stuff from Costco from being used in the machine. And the machine won't work unless you're putting an original Keurig pod in the machine. Well, better yet, let's just buy a machine that isn't Keurig. Buy one from someone else if they're going to play this silly game, or up the cost of the machine and make it worthwhile to, you know, to make your profit there. But that's where they've been making the money, is in the coffee. They discount the cost of the machine, and, you know, you guys buy their coffee, and bada bing, bada boom, they make a lot of money. But not if you're buying knockoffs from Costco. There's some new malware out there that targets banking data. This should not come as a surprise. It's just another day in the life of malware. Link will be in the show notes on that. Be in the show notes on that. Article over on SFGate talking about in Mexico, or excuse me, New Mexico, Santa Fe, New Mexico. A statewide ban on texting while driving has takes effect tomorrow. So if you live in the state of New Mexico, under the law, drivers are prohibited from sending or reading text messages and emails even while at a stop sign or temporarily stuck in a traffic jam. That's the same in Vegas, folks. Do not even touch your phone when you're in traffic or anything in Vegas. You will get a ticket. Be warned. You can be at a stop sign, stuck in traffic in front of the Bellagio, and you can get a ticket. By just having your hand on your phone. Okay, so, but the finder must cheaper in New Mexico, $25, $50. I think my ticket in Vegas was $275 or $300. It hurt. Google Glass is going to be banned from most UK movie theaters. No surprise there. What else? Ads in space. Mars One is offering interplanetary product placement. If I could afford this, I would like to have a Raw Voice logo on the planetary launch vehicle going to Mars. That would be pretty cool. And this launch is brought to you by Raw Voice, the innovators and leaders in podcast hosting and podcast statistics. Get a podcast hosting account today at rawvoice.com or one of their satellite sites like blueberry.com. T-minus 10, 9. That's some good advertising there to be bought. An official podcast sponsor of Mars One from launch to death. Oh, man. All right, U.S. book publishers are making more through online sales and physical bookstores. That makes sense. I haven't bought a physical book in many. I think the last one I bought was the Steve Jobs book. Actually, I think I even had it given to me. Huge leak shows that the iPhone 6 is a curved glass screen. A curved screen. So is it going to have a gentle curve to it? Don't know. Sounds like it. So we'll see where this leads. Is it going to be enough? Dissuade me not to go to Android. That is yet to be determined. The latest Untether jailbreak is already compatible with iOS 7.1.2. Be aware of that. Also, there's a movie coming to movie theaters near you that I think is going to be worth going seeing. It's called Into the Storm. It's got an incredible trailer. I'll have it linked up in the show notes. This is coming to cinemas near you in August. I'm really excited to see this thing. It's a superstorm of the century, and they use real footage from some star storm chasers, and of course a lot of CGI as well. They got one cool scene with a fire and a tornado going over fire and sucking up the flames. It's really pretty cool stuff here. A lot of graphics, but anyway, watch the trailer. I think you're going to like it. Starting tomorrow, anything you see from the Associated Press that's business related has probably been written by a robot. Not a human. So robots are taking over tomorrow and going to be putting out as many as 4,400 business notices a day, automatically churned and spit out, probably press releases, that kind of stuff. All right, there's some haters out there on Arrow. Computer World article really is the ultimate hater. Love and hate, but a lot of hate at the end. And the title of his Arrow deserves to be put out of business for stealing content. And I'll be let you judge the content of the article yourself. All right, apparently Windows 9, that's what we're shooting for in the spring. If Microsoft can get their heads out of their butts over this failed Windows 8 strategy. But Windows 9 will morph depending on the device you have to fit the device it's running on. So if it's a desktop, it gives you a full desktop display. If it's on a tablet, it shows you the, you know, checkerboard thing. So, you know, it's that poorly marketed. I don't even know what it's called anymore. Wink, wink. But anyway, that's what's going to happen with Windows 9. Also, following a failed launch in 2009, NASA is once again ready to launch the orbiting Carbon Observatory on Tuesday. So hopefully we can get this one into orbit, not blow it up halfway to space. Comes to you at a price of $468 million times two. And finally, if you are using the no-ip.com service, you may be out of service. The feds seized about 20 popular domains over at no-ip.com and to shut down botnets and a bunch of crazy stuff that was going on with malware. All right, that wraps us up for regular content today, and I'm smoking long here. So let me load email real quick and get through email. And appreciate you guys hanging with me here tonight. And let me rant at the beginning of the show about the stupidity that's going on at the company called Facebook. And Mark Zuckerberg, you know, he should be, someone should take him and his parents should take him and spank him. I know it sounds pretty bad, but if I did something like that, if my father was still alive and I did something like that, he wouldn't spank me. He would come to the house and he would just give me a good old beat down. You know, what were you thinking about? Were you stupid? Let me adjust your attitude. Oh, gosh. Actually, if my dad was alive, he probably wouldn't care because he wouldn't be on Facebook. Hey, those of you I have to apologize. Sometimes I forget to start the live audio stream. So MS Small Biz was trying to get it the other day, and it wouldn't come up. And I said, sorry, I forgot to turn it on. So I apologize to him. And, you know, I got this. How come some of these didn't get popped over? I had some additional emails that came in that I copied over here. The couple came from Facebook. What's going on? Why didn't those come into the feed? Oh, we have a mystery. Okay, so I apologize those of you that had sent stuff via Facebook and Google Plus because I thought those got pushed in over here and they didn't in the stack. So keep them coming. I won't be a knucklehead and make the mistake twice. I don't know how that happened. I'm a bit confused. But all right, let's wrap it up here. And if I find the Kickstarter that I was excited about, I'll put the link up in the show notes. Everyone, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being a fan of the show. And I appreciate you taking time out of your day to listen to me. I know your time is valuable. You have a lot of listening options. Just like flying on airlines, you have a lot of options. There's a lot of tech shows out there. And I appreciate your dedication to tuning in twice a week and to listening to me to babble and rant about the tech news of the day and giving you my opinion, my slice and dice, and trying to break it down in a way that the common Joe can consume this stuff. You guys are all super fans, superheroes in my book, and thank you for your dedication and appreciation, and again for your time. I know it's valuable, and I try not to waste it. I know that it's a good economy, so I'll quit talking and wasting your time. And also, become an insider. Help the show $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, $25 a month. It all starts at 6.7 cents a day at geeknesscentral.com/insider. Until, don't forget, I'm gone. Until the next three hosts are going to be guest hosts. I'm officially on vacation. As soon as I say goodbye, I know you're going to miss me, but you know what? I need a break. And I need a break from you. I just need a break from this. And this and a whole bunch of other stuff. So I'll see you after I get back from vacation, everybody. Take care. We'll see you on the 14th. Everyone take care. Next time. Aloha. Woohoo! I'm on vacation.